Well, just summarize from that point. Okay, so just to summarize, just the last point we made in 27, just in Halach Gimel, because we ran through at the end, is the Machlok is already the beginning of the year between the Rambam and the Ravid. Right, Halach Gimel, Horu Rabosein, Harabose, Shamal, the Chavir Lachard, Mantava, Chov, Amarlo, Halove, Dorba, Chatera, Acha, Achsa, the Chovcha, Reza, Avak, Rivis, Lefisha, Lokotas, Bishas, Halvash, and Amarlo, Sitin, Lo, Beneshech. The Rambam writes that even if you explicitly articulate that you're doing something for Ribbis, but not at the time of the loan, so that's not Ribbis Doraisa. Because according to the Rambam, Ribbis Ksuta must be a function of the original loan, and that's it. The Ravid writes that's not true, because the Ravid's position both here and in Hechos Ishus, as he says, Amar Avram Chayroshi lo yofe horo shemegiyaz mana piron v'arvach lo zimne mishum davi that if at the time when you extend time for the loans, you're giving the person more time, so it's agar natar lay, literally, right? You're giving him more time for him to pay you more money. It doesn't matter if it's the beginning of the loan, not the beginning of the loan. It's like a new loan. They have as we mentioned, they have a similar machlokas and kiddushin in terms of mekadosh memilve. That was the last point we'd made. Okay, so now yeah, to 29. So we'd already discussed that the Rif's position, seemingly, and the Rambam's position, unlike how the Ramban understood them, was that in the case of a Halveni, if I articulate and say, lend me money and allow me to live in your property, so it's Ribbis D'Oraisa, even if the property is not Avid Lemegar, is not normally rented property. And we saw last week the reasons why that might be true, either because you've now given it subjective value, or because Tovas Hana is Mamon, because the ability to choose at least has some sort of monetary worth. The Ramban himself understood the Rif differently and said that no, only if it's two factors, both Halveni and Avid Lemegar, meaning it's both something which is objectively has monetary worth, and you articulate at the beginning that that's part of the arrangement, only then will be right. So that was the position of the Ramban. Okay. The next point, though, the Ramban himself in number 29 writes as follows: "Says Yvel v'darba chatzero, peirz v'hu darba chatzero, umvel kvar darba." Eino tzorich lahalos lo schar. The ma'ida shakal minei umay chasre. Vafilu ba lozi de shamayim potter kach nirali. So moving from hilveini to hilvehu, or the other case, not where you articulated that you have the right to do that, but they just did it, so it's usher. But the Ramban says that if he already did live there, if the malv already lived in the property of the lover, there's nothing you can do. And he says, even vide shamayim, you can't. So what the Ramban tells you is, okay, Halveni is Daraisa, either only when it's Avid Lamegar, or even if it's not Avid Lamegar. If it's Hilvahu, meaning he just happened to live there and you didn't stop him, so now he thinks it's not Daraisa, but then it could be two things. It could be a regular case of Ribbis Darabanan, in which case maybe Lotzei Shidur Shamayim, you should have to return it, or it could be an even lower level, right, of, you know, Mechti Kiribis or something, where you don't even have to pay post facto lotzei de shamayim. That's Ramban's position. And he says, how do you know? Because he says, Hachi mashma midamrin and mechzi kiribis, amalav avak ribisu. Right? It's not avak ribis, I mean, kind of normal ribis derabana. It's a step lower than that. It just looks like ribis. El mechzi be'alma. De'i avak ribisu, kevin de bistam ochil ba lotzei de shamayim chayav. Because if it was avak ribis, he would have to pay. But if it was Ledato Shel Nosein, right, if the guy gave him permission, so then, right, yeah, you know, it isn't Choser. But then he ends up saying, but Avak Ribis, he wouldn't return anyway, so especially if it's Midaito Shel Nosein, but for sure here he thinks it's a level less, that it's Mechzi Akiribis. Okay. The next machlokas, though, we have to discuss is is what happens if you haven't yet paid back the loan, right? The Ramban says that if, in the case of Hilvahu, you pay back the loan, you can't then force the Malveh to pay rent post facto. But what happens if the Lova hasn't paid back the loan yet? Does that change things? Right? We definitely can't, after the loan's been paid back, force in the case of Hilvahu, force the Malveh to pay the Lova rent because it was Eino Avid LeMegar and it's not Ribis Ktsutsa. But what happens if he hasn't paid the money? So now, what's the problem or what's the issue? We've said you can't force Avak Ribis or Mechzik Ribis, right? It's not Yotze B'Dayanin. But here it's not Yotze B'Dayanin, right? If you say that the Malveh has post facto rights to not be charged, then the Lova will have to actively pay the Malveh his full loan, despite the fact that the Malveh had lived in his property. So does that change things, right? Because now the money hasn't been paid yet, right? You may not be able to force the money out of the Malveh's hands, but can you force a deduction, right? And that's nominally different than forcing payment. So the position of the Rif is that no. The position of the Rif is there's no difference, right? Anytime I would force either payment or a deduction of payment, that's called Yotze B'Dayanin. And that's based on the Gemara, we'll see in a moment, in Daf Samach Zayin, where the Gemara seems to set the following rule, which is, Saluke Bilozuze Afuke Minehu. Anytime I force you to lose, right, leave without full payment, it's the equivalent of forcing you to pay. And therefore, if I force a deduction in the loan, it's the equivalent of forcing rent, or forcing payment for ribis, which you can only do as ribis ktsutsa, and as we said, hilvahu is not ribis ktsutsa. That's the position of the Rif. But Rabbeinu Ephraim argues, and Rabbeinu Ephraim says, no, in this case, afuke b'lo zuzei is not, suluke b'lo zuzei is lav afuke minehu, right? A deduction is not the same as payment. And so that's what we're going to see now, is why that would be the case. So that's 30 and 31. Ramban says as follows. He said, "Su kasev Rabbeinu Hagadol." The Rif writes that afilu katavale be'agar base mekamei delifrei lomechayvinen leilenakuli leishir agar base dechalsa luke below zuze afuke minehu. If it's a case of hilvahu, right, where he didn't stipulate it in advance, the malveh simply lived in the property of the lovet. So then afterwards, because it wasn't Sribitz Ktsutsa, when the loan is returned, the loan has to be returned in its entirety, right? Now, the Lovet could have stopped, should have stopped the Malveh. The Malveh shouldn't have lived there in the first place, but once he did it, it's over, the loan still stands, and therefore he has to pay. But, Harav Rabbeinu Ephraim Talmido, Rabbeinu Ephraim is a Talmud of the Rif, Chalak, he argued, V'amar delo amar avashi kolsel, or chile, because he's going to distinguish probably, whatever, within the Samach Zayin. Kolsel uke v'lo zuze afuke minehu, elo gabe mashkanta de shchuna gabe. So the only time we say afuke that seluke v'lo zuze is by a mashkon. Meaning what? So if you look at 32 for a moment, this is the Gemara he's commenting on. So amar marbre der of Yosef v'shmei de Rava. Ha mashkanta. Right, if you have a mashkan, right, so someone lent money and he gave collateral, and now the collateral is in the hands of the malveh, of the lender. So I mashkan ba'asr de misalke, achel shir zuze misalkinen lay. So there were some places where the minhag was that any collateral wasn't a real collateral. The collateral was the beginning of payment for the loan, in the sense that if it produced produce, the produce was understood to be, right, going towards the payment of the loan. So he says, any place where the minhag is, the misalke, right, that you take the produce of the collateral and you deduce that amount from the original loan, so then, achal shir zuze misalkinen lay. Once you've eaten 100% of the loan worth, right, it was, so then you force the guy off the collateral. There's nothing left to pay. Achal tvei, but if you eat more, right, so it was a $100 loan and you ate $110 worth of produce, lo mifakinen minei, velo mechashvinen mishtar lishtara. We don't allow you to force payment to the loveh from the malveh of the extra produce. Ubidiyasme, achal shuzuze misalkinen lay, achal tfei mifakin mine, unless the borrowers were yesomim, and then we do, because whatever. Umachashun mishtar lishtar, and we also calculated between loans. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, hashed the amart achal tfei lo mifakinen mine. Once you say that once someone ate the $110, right, you don't force them to pay. Achal shir zuze nami lo misalkinen le below zuze. It must be that it's not true that if you eat $100 of produce, that you lose the collateral. My taima, saluke below zuze afuke minehu. If you think you can't make him pay the extra $10 because you think that's right, not the payment, nor is it ribis ketsutza, that means that the produce is not really payment for the loan, and therefore taking the mashkan away from him, right, is the equivalent of forcing him to pay ribis ketsutza, right, or not, sorry, pay back, not ribis ketsutza, and that's a problem, and therefore it doesn't work. So luki below zuze afuke minehu have avak ribis v'avak ribis eno yotze b'dayon, it's only avak ribis, and therefore you can't force the guy to leave without any of his money, without any of the loan. I don't want to get into the full details of that case, but the principle the Gemara introduces there, that in a case of avak ribis, right, so saluke below zuze afike minehu, it's the equivalent of yotze b'dayanin. So how can Rabbeinu Ephraim say that in our case, in Hilvo, a deduction is not the equivalent of forcing someone to pay not ribis ketsutza? So Rabbeinu Ephraim says, look, there's a difference. By a mashkon, if you take the property away from him, the status quo was that the malva had the rights to the collateral. If at some point you determine that him holding on to the collateral is avak ribis, and therefore you force the property out of his hand, you're changing the status quo. If you're changing the status quo, well, that's called yotze b'dayanin, that's called imposing the court order on ribis, and it's only avak ribis, you can't do that. But here, the status quo is that the money is in the hand of the love, and you want the love to pay, right? If you force him to pay the whole amount, right? Well, or other way around. But forcing a deduction is maintaining the status quo, because at the moment, the love has 100% of the money, the malva has 0% of the money, and now instead of making him pay 100%, you're making him pay 90%. That's not the same as taking out of someone's property, like the case of the mashkon. It's just preventing the status quo from changing fully, right? Meaning, or you're changing whatever. Rabbeinu Ephraim's point is the only time you say that, right, deductions are considered yotze b'dayanin and therefore only applicable to ribis d'oraisa, to ribis ketsutza, is in a case where you have to change the status quo. If you change the status quo, that's called a court order. But a deduction when the money is still in the hand of the love, so that's not called yotze, because it's not yotze. The point is that you're just holding back some of the money that the malva would get. And that's Rabbeinu Ephraim's position. And therefore he says, since he shouldn't have done it, he shouldn't have lived there, and now I can put a number on the rent, and he hasn't yet paid, so we force a deduction. And that's what he says. And then the Ramban continues, V'rabi mechriu kidvarav. And many people agree, because there's an implication that Yerushalmi, that Rabbeinu Ephraim is right. Because Yerushalmi says that Chad Bar Nosh Ashel Chavrei Dinorin, that someone lent money to his friend, and Ashir De Govese, and then he stayed in his house, and Amar Le Havli Agar Besi, and he said, give me rent. Amar Le Havli Dinori, he said, so pay back the loan. And also Uvde Kumei Rabbi Abba Bar Bizna Umar Vekimle Maida Havei Chomei Lemishrei. And then, right, he made a deal, he made him give back the loan, but, right, he incorporated a certain amount of rent deduction into the, at least that's what it sounds like, right? But the Ramban then comments, V'zu achroni namachras, sheesh lafarsha kong dehilvo v'achach amalo adr b'chatzercha v'amarlo dor b'chatzeri lo amarlo b'chinem lo b'schar. He said, no, that case might be different because the case is as follows, that I borrow money from Adam, and then Adam comes over, and then Adam comes to me and says, can I live in my property, and I say yes. So Ramban says, in that case, you have to pay rent. Why? Because the assumption is Adam is a good firm Jew, he's not going to want to violate Yisurim. So when he said, can I live in your property, he must have meant bishar. He must have meant with Bishar, because I would never doubt that Adam would want to keep Hilchos Ribis, right? And therefore, that's why in the Yerushalmi they say he has to pay. But the case of the Bavli is where he did it without asking. If he did it without asking, there's no assumption that he wanted to keep Halacha, and therefore it's Avak Ribis, right? The assumption is he was violating Avak Ribis. If it's only Avak Ribis, so then the Rif would say, Eino, right? Eino Yotze, you can't deduct, unlike Rabbeinu Ephraim. And that's the Ramban's defense. The Baal HaMor in 31 paskins like the paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim. And he writes, I don't like what the Rif says. The Rabbeinu Ephraim is right. He says there are things that need to be fixed in Rabbeinu Ephraim. The EU Amar Bechatzur Lo Kai Malagra Lo Mechayvin and Lei Medina Kevin Dem Amal Lo Mechayev. Rabbeinu Ephraim limits this to a case, as at least as Rabbeinu Ephraim, as the Baal HaMor records. We don't have the actual piece of Rabbeinu Ephraim, but the way the Baal HaMor had the Masora was that Rabbeinu Ephraim only forced a deduction if he lived in rentable property without permission. The Baal HaMor goes farther in light of what we've seen in the Meiri and the Rambam and the Rif before. L'didi mashma kol heichad ikach shash avagribiz mechashvinen lo yimasigin lo bilozuzei lo dam yavob lo mashkanta 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 shkuna gabe, etc. He says it's true even if it's not rentable property, and then he articulates the same defense that we mentioned before, Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the only time that saluke bilozuzei is considered yotzi b'dayonin is by the case of the mashkon where you're changing the status quo. Okay, so that is machlokas 2 that we have in the Gemara in the case of Hilvahu. Yeah. Right.
What about the situation? I think this comes up. What about a situation where it was a vakrivit, but you still have to pay rent? Whereas you could have the basically those different cases. If you say stam or the bala chaser is rav a shavak, you might still have to pay schar, but it's still a vakrivit. So then, in that case, is the
Rif
going to say you can deduct or
not? No, so that's what Ramban says. Ramban says, in that case, it's not called a deduction. It's called rent because the assumption, because of Bistam, we assume that you agreed to pay rent. Now we're being yot saying, not be din Rav Agribis, but be din rent.
I mean, I thought it sounded like there that the question of the rent depended on the intentions of the person that owns the chat there.
Right, but the Ramban... Right, so the Ramban says... Right, so the Ramban... But the Ramban says that's not true, that when you initiate the deal in the middle... Right, the assumption is by good from Jews that you've agreed. It sounds like both parties, even though the Malva now denies it.
Yeah, but what if they didn't initiate? So Malva just starts living there, and
correct. So no, so Ramban Svara, right? I mean, basic argument is what lies behind that position of the Beis Yosef, right? Is any case where I can claim that this is rent, midine zenen avizelu chaser midin whatever, or is that net right zenen avizelu chaser? Right, Zelonen, whatever. So then it's not called Afukim, you know, it's not Yotzei B'Dayanin, it's rent. Yeah, presumably, right? That's what the Ramban says. But the Ramban says the Rif will be Modeh, that if it's a case where I can explain why you're paying not because of Yotzei B'Dayanin of Ribis, but because you objectively owe rent, so then obviously you have to pay. And he says that's what the Yerushalmi means. Right? That's how he defends the Rif against the critique of those who use the Yerushalmi to support Rabbeinu Ephraim. Yes. I think I got that right. But yeah, that's basically the Ramban's point, is that the Rif will say any time that you're forcing payment of rent only because it's Avak Ribis, that's called Yotzei B'Dayanin. Any time you're forcing rent because for other reasons you think that there's it warrants a rental payment, so then that's not called Yotzei B'Dayanin, that's called rent. Right? That we can argue about exact formulation, the permutation, but that's exactly what Beis Yosef is building on.
That the tour brought this machlokes in the Rif and Rabbeinu Ephraim, but a case where there is rent and a vakrivit. The question is, can you?
So that's not the Ramban understands it, right? The Ramban understands, right? I mean, the way the Ramban defends the Rif against Rabbeinu Ephraim is arguing that Rabbeinu Ephraim thinks that even when it's only yotzei midin avakrivit, and the Rif will be mode in a case where it's rent. That's even what the Ramban says, right? That's how the Ramban understands it. Yeah. But it's definitely the Ramban understands the machlok is the Rif. Now, of course, you can always, you know, in the Beis Yosef, there are many distinctions exactly when you... But I think that's the basic theory of the Rif versus Rabbeinu Ephraim, I think. The Ritva, and then we'll look at Shulchan Aruch, just says, he says, "Echad elvau v'dar b'chatzer midaito, shamalo stam, dar b'chatzer v'lo perish im b'chinam im b'schar, nirim dvarim shezek ki'ilu perish yadar b'b'schar, b'chatzer k'dekai milagra." Right? The Ritva says what the Ramban says, but even clearer language, as is always the case. literally, which is why I put it, right? He makes it very clear, right? The Ramban is a bit convoluted, the Rishba makes it very clear, right? Any time we make an agreement in the middle, and the assumption is that I'm supposed to pay rent, then according to everybody, even the Rif, then you have to pay. Because even if you would say in a normal case, that when I let you move into my property, if I don't say how much you have to rent, presumably I'm letting go for free. Shiny hacha. Because in this case, if I let you live there for free, there's a problem of avik ribis. And therefore, I assume that you're not one. You don't want to violate an isur. So must be you want rent. If it's rent, right? If you agree to pay rent, therefore it's not ribis. Therefore, everyone would agree that you have to pay, right? That's the Ritva understands the sort of the kav chashiva coming from the Rik. Okay, so we've seen the question of whether it's avak, whether it's ribis daraisa or not on eino avid lemegar by Halveni. We've seen by Hilvahu, Ravino Ephraim's position that if it's avid lemegar, so then you can force a deduction and that's not called yotze b'dayanin. The Balamor's position that even if it's not avid lemegar, you can force a deduction. And the Ramban defending the Rif, and the Ritva defending the Rif, that if it's a case of Eino Yotzeb, if it's one of the cases of Hilvahu, which is always going to be Eino Rebbe's Ksutza, then post facto you can never force a deduction because that will always be considered Yotze Bidayanin. So those were the three positions we've seen on question two. Now if we just move at Shulchan Aruch to see the summary of how we paskin. So, Sif Aleph, Hamal v'schaveir lo yasa melacha be'avdo. If you lend money to your friend, you can't co-opt his slave to do work for you. Afilu batel, even if he's not working at all. Velo yadur b'chatzeiro chinam, and you can't live in his property for free. Velo yiskor b'menu b'pachos, nor can you rent his property for less money. Afilu b'chatzeb lo kaim ala agra, even if it's a property which is not normally rented, meaning peyer sheino metas lehistaker. Uvigavad lov v'nameger, even if you don't normally rent. V'im darbo kvar, and if you live there already, kaven d'cholo chatzer, the chatzer lo kaim ala agra, since it was not property that was normally rented, ain sarech lates lo afilu lates yedei shamayim. You don't have to give even lates yedei shamayim. But he only says this in the case of chatzar to lo kaim el agra. In kaim el agra, the implication is you do have to pay rent. But as the Beis Yosef clarifies, probably midin rent and not midin yotze b'dayanin. Vafilu himu gavra David lemegar ulahar Rambam afilu himu gavra delavid lemegar have avak ribbits. And according to the Rambam, even if he's a person who doesn't normally rent, have avak ribbits, right? Meaning even in a property which is normally rented, if he doesn't normally rent, so then have avak ribbits v'tarach lahachter in balatish shamayim, but he will have to return latish v'day shamayim. V'chatzar dekaim el agra have avak ribis, etc. Siv beis amar le halveni v'dor b'chatzeri. If you articulate it, let me live in your property. So ikaim el agra have ribis ktsutza. V'ilo kaim el agra have avak ribis. So he paskins against the Rambam and the Rif, and says that in order for it to be ribis, and like the Ramban, that in order for something to be ribis ktsutza, it needs two things: both that you articulate the agreement at the beginning, and that the property you're renting is rentable. Right? He paskins against the Magen Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam, against the position of the Rif, against the Levush, against Miri, and in favor of the Ramban's understanding of the Rif, which is that it's only ribis ktuta if it is avid lemegar. The Rama writes v'dafka bistam aval amar lo dor bichatziri bischar halva'a if you lo kaim ala agra have a ribis ktuta. The Rama, on the other hand, says that's not true. He says if you actually say, live here. Now, I'm not sure if he thinks the Beis Yosef would agree to this or not, right? It sounds like he does, but that doesn't seem to be true because that's not the Kesem Mishnah, just the Rambam. But the Rama sides with the simple understanding of the Rif and the Rambam that if you actually say, live in my non-rentable property as part of our agreement for this, you know, this loan, then it's ribis ktsutza, even when it's not avid lemegar, and it's yotze b'dayanin. And then they continue, v'im hilvov, achar zman tava chovov, amr lo alova dor b'chatziri, and if in the middle of the loan, the lender comes and asks to live in the property. Yesh omrim she'enu elo avak ribis, v'yesh omrim shu ribis k'tzutza. Right, so this is by arvach la'zimne, v'ushu yomer lo kem b'shasham arvach la'zman. Right, so if at the time of harvach ha'zman you say, I'll live in your property, extend my loan, so he notes the machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ravid, and is not machriya. According to the Rambam, that's only avak ribis, because he doesn't count arvach la'zimne as a new loan. According to the Ravid, that is arvach la'zimne, which is a new loan, which is ribis d'oraisa. And then the Rama adds, v'hu adin b'chol ribis. Shabala Adam Dulokatos Mitchila Yesh Machloka Zu Imu Avagribis Oktuta. He says this machlokas Rambam Ravid is any time you have something that wasn't articulated at the beginning. Siv Gimbal, Heichadava Avagribis. Right now this is the machlokas Rambam and the Rif and Rabbeinu Ephraim. If it's Avagribis, Yesh Omrim Shafil Lo Paro Adayim Itovea Lova Shinako Mehova Shira Tchiras Lomenakin and Lay. Some say, meaning the Rif, say that if it's avak ribis, even if you haven't paid the loan yet, you don't make any deduction based on the living of the property. The Yeshomrin Dimenakin and Lein Rabbeinu Ephraim says that you do deduce, and the Rama Basfar Achrona Yik, or the Rama Paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim against the Rif. Mishi Kibel Mos Behalva Me'echad. And now, okay, now we're going to see a new case. I didn't give all the sources on it. This is Adam Yaron and I spent like 2 hours on this yesterday, so I'm going to give the rundown of it. Here is one of the strangest positions in Rishonim. But the Bris Yehuda says, but what can I do? Everyone paskins like it. It makes no sense, but everybody paskins like it. Okay, so here's the case. If I lend money to Adam, and I am Hananya's teacher, his son's teacher, and I live in his house, right? I'm his Rebbe, whatever.
You lent to him or you borrow from him?
No, so this is the complicated. No, yeah. I lent him money, okay. Right? It's the teacher is both the person lending money,
yeah,
and the work and the employee.
Yeah.
So the Mordechai writes, based on, I'll say it outside first, the way the Rambam Rutenberg says it, and this is how it's understood, this is the simple way it's understood both in the Rambam Rutenberg, in both Tshuva of the Marmi Rutenberg, in the Mordechai, in the Rush, in the Tshuvos Maimoni, and then articulated length in the Achronim. It always confuses me. This is the counterintuitive case, and this is why it doesn't make any sense.
I'm just looking at it. It's not the wording of the Ramah.
Correct, but it's clearer in the Shulchan Aruch. I just gave you the Ramah because it's here, but Shulchan Aruch in the other Siman and the original in the Marmi Rutenberg is absolutely clear, so I'm going to say it outside.
Okay.
The Ramah is the one where the pronouns get shady. But the...
Also because the verb is kibel.
Okay, so we've discussed this. The Rama apparently didn't like this, and therefore, I'll start. Let's do it this way: the case of the the case of Marami Rutenberg is as follows: if an employee lends money to his employer before they initiate an employment agreement, right? So, because you articulated all at once, it sounds like giving the person a job was a form of ribis, right? Meaning giving him the opportunity to work for you was ribis. And therefore, it's ribis ktsutza de'oraisa, according to the Marami Rutenberg, for you too, in your original agreement, to say, I will borrow money for you, and in return... But even if you don't articulate in return, you say, I will borrow money from you, and I'll pay you back, and I'll employ you and pay you fair market value.
It's only because of the market. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
So that's the Maram Rutenberg.
You're making employment as a form of stock.
No, even... What?
We view employment as a form of stock.
Right. So even if you don't say... Now again, even if you don't say as ribis, even if you just say at the same time, so Maram Rutenberg says it's d'oraisa. It's ribis d'oraisa. Now, everybody after the Marami Rutenberg who quotes the Marami Rutenberg, right, or most of them, not all of them, but most of the Rishonim and the Achronim who quote the Marami Rutenberg, quote him, but take out Ribis Ktsutza and replace it with Avak Ribis. The Bris Yehuda denotes this, right, that most people agree with the basic Pesach of the Marami Rutenberg, but argue that it's not Ribis D'oraisa, it's Ribis D'rabbanan, because at the end of the day, he's working for you, right, and you're paying him fair market value. If you said, I'll pay you a higher salary, so then ribbis p'tuta vaday, that's harama. Right, right. So the problem in the original case is that it's not even salary, it's hotsa'ot, right? It's where you let the person live in your house, right? That was the old, you know. Right, that's the old.
Then I understand why you have a problem.
Right, that was the old thing. It was, you know, the private tutor who lived in your house, right? So that's, I think, the Maharam of Rindenburg's point, because he says it's not salary, it's really you pay hotsaot, right? So that's the case where the Maharam of Rindenburg says derisa. Now, the Rizyud has about 10 pages, I think 8 pages, I think it is, of some very complicated monetary arrangement that they had in the Sephardi communities, which he says, I don't understand what this is, so I'm going to try to articulate it as best I can, but I don't really know what I'm talking about because it appears differently in basically every tshuva. But they had some sort of similar arrangement where, in return for lending money, you would lend money to your employee, right? And then, no, you would lend money to your employee, and then your employee would, in return, accept to pay, basically accept insurance on the goods that you gave him to sell as part of the agreement, right, where...
Yeah, well, that's the next sugya.
Right, so...
That description is what's coming up.
Right, some version... No, but he wouldn't pay more, he would pay insurance. They would agree to pay insurance.
Right, but that's who he talks about, at least Makabal Achrayus, that's what insurance is.
Right, well, but it wasn't a normal one. It was that they accepted to sell the items at a certain rate. It was like a very, there are different versions of it, but it's some version of this. But basically, what comes out is that some version of this position of the Maharam of Rindenburg we paskin like, either on a level of derabanan, which is how it appears in most Rishonim, or actually as Tutsa d'oraisa, which is how it appears in the Maharam of Rindenburg himself. That's all how it appears in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Maharam of Rindenburg as is. The Ramah, at least here, even though he quotes the Maharam of Rindenburg, he quotes the Mordechai, he quotes the Maharam, who all quote the Maharam of Rindenburg as it actually appears in the Maharam of Rindenburg, the Ramah himself flips it, right, and says, Misha kibo ma'os behalva'a me'echad, v'gam lo made im b'no, v'hisna ima shitno mishum zeh hotza'a, af agav d'hu nosin lo hotza'a b'lo halva'a mishum shalomad im b'no, afilo hachi asr dehevi le kehalveni v'dor b'chatziri, right, he seems to flip it and say that the teacher is the love and the worker, right? The Ramah flips it and says that if someone agrees to be your employee and get paid fair market value while borrowing money for you, that's the case that it's ribbis, right? Because he's, even though he's getting paid for his work, the assumption is he's not really getting paid for his work, right? You're going to end up paying him less or whatever it is because you are his creditor, right? So the Ramah flips the case of Maharam of Rindenburg.
What do the teachers get?
No, so in Echanami, the Ramah...
But it's very simple because you get it hotsaot, it's not salary.
Correct. So hotsaot was normal. So this is the problem. So what the Bris Yehuda says, I didn't put all of it, this is just gets so complex. The Bris Yehuda says... is, and I think it's reasonable, he said if there's an objective market value for the salary and he's being paid exactly the market value, so then presumably it's not a problem. The reason that the Ramah and the Maharam of Rindenburg, well, no, not the Maharam of Rindenburg, the reason the Ramah chooses his case is because it's talking about a private tutor who lives in your house, which is by definition amorphous, because you know, you're giving him hotsaot, but who knows what you have for dinner, and who knows what type of accommodations you have. So there's no way of saying, well, he's just getting paid his salary, because you don't know what the salary is. If that's the case, right, so things are, that's why you have a problem. But if he was working for you, you know, it might be better. But what brings you to note is that what everyone seems to agree with is that this problem is only generated if you make this agreement at the time of the loan. But if he already worked for you, right, you know, like your employee comes to you and asks you for a loan, so you're allowed to lend him money. If your employer comes to you and asks you for a loan, you're allowed to because the relationship wasn't initiated by this and therefore it's not ketsutza in any way, shape, or form.
No,
right?
It's
what?
Like
correct. Well, because he said it's not really ribbis, right? It's ribbis and it's mukdemes and it's milcheres, so it's mutzal chatchila. Though he notes that obviously, if in such a case, you know, if your employer asks you for a loan and then you give him a loan and the next day he gives you a raise, that, he says, would indeed be a Rivas problem because you've now changed the salary that seems to be in response to the loan. But assuming none of that is true...
What? Why do you have a problem if it was before?
You don't have a problem. You don't have a problem.
It's a bit more hurt.
No, exactly. He says not a problem. He says not a problem. So, lehalacha, what comes out is that the Marami Rutenberg, which is Nifsag and Shulchan Aruch, says that if I, as part of my original agreement, say I will both borrow money from you and employ you, so the Marami Rutenberg says Daraisa, Rov Rishon says Darabanan, but it's Aser. But if we don't articulate it as part of the original deal, so then, the post can say it's mutter, because why not? But I can never lend money to my employer, my employee. Not true. The Rama flips it and says that the employee can't, right? Someone can't agree to be your employee as part of a loan deal, because that's a problem of ribbis.
He doesn't put it as being simultaneous.
Right, well, the Rama might be a little bit different, because the Rama is not saying employer, he's saying employee, right, which complicates
issues.
It's
not that it's part of the same
right,
deal.
Right, so the problem is that, I agree with you, this is my problem with the Rama. All the Achronim, like the Bris Yehuda, quote, everybody quotes, assumes the Rama is doing the same thing as Shulchan Aruch, and therefore Paschim Mami Rutenberg, and the pronouns are just confused. I think the Rama flipped...
He says so himself in Kafayin Zion.
Well, no, and the reason is because the Rama in Kafayin Zion references back to
Kfar Be'arti
in Kof Samach Vav, right? So they assume it's just a mistake, right? That the Rama didn't mean to say this. But if you think that the Rama means what he says here, it could be the Rama made a mistake.
You looked at this Ma'arik. In other words, at the end of the line, you have he has Mordechai from the Ma'aram and the Ma'arik.
I haven't looked
at the Ma'arik. I'm curious what the language is in the
Ma'arik. I'll have to look at the Ma'arik. I'll have to... That's what I'll have to do, is check with the Ma'arik. But the Rama in Kufayin Zion claims that he's... Yeah, that this is just the same thing, right, as what he says in Kufayin Zion. So if it's true, so then the Bris Yehuda is right, that the only problem is where, as a part of a loan agreement, I agree to employ you, right? And then it's either Ribbis Ksutz or at least Ribbis Derabanan, right? But if it's Mucheres, you know, Mukdemes, right, meaning we already have a pre-existing relationship, then it's mutter. And then, as both the Bris Yehuda suggests and the Tzidus Shalom exists, under certain circumstances, you might be able to solve the problem. You might. Now, if it's as part of the original agreement, you can never solve the problem, because it sounds like you're hiring the person because he gave you money. So that doesn't work. But any other time, if it's before or after, as long as you continue paying him the normal salary, you don't raise it, you don't lower it, you don't whatever, you don't change it, so then it's fine. If you start playing with salaries, and everyone agrees, right, you're running into problems, not daraisa, if you don't, you didn't, you know, you weren't kotzeitz it, but at least derabanan. Okay. Yeah, if you can find the line.
Yeah, no, the line isn't there verbatim.
It isn't there verbatim.
No.
Okay, so I'll have to look through the Maharek. You know, because yesterday we spent time looking through the original ones, like the, you know, all the Talmidim of the Marami Rutenberg. And all the Talmidim of the Marami Rutenberg, it appears the way I said it before, right? That it's, I agree to employ you because you lent me money. That's, right? Historical aside, right? The Marami Rutenberg had three main Talmidim, right? Most famous Talmidim, the Mordechai, the Rush, and the Hagos Maimonides. This appears in all of them, and it doesn't appear in the Rush. It doesn't appear in the Rush. It appears in the Mordechai and the Hagos Maimonides, in both of them, and not just in the lines in the bottom, but in the Chuvos Maimonides, which is a full thing, as it appears both in the Chuvah of the Marami Rutenberg and in the Mordechai. And the Hagos Maimonides is the way Shulchan Aruch quotes it, right? That I will employ you if you lend me money, right? How it might appear in the Marek, I'm not sure. We'll have to look through. We'll have to look through it. Okay, but that is that insanely complicated case, which is not totally clear what the case was, and it's not clear what it applies to. And there's all types of just rakshatei. If ever you want to make an agreement that sounds sort of like this, ask a posik. Well, don't do it, but ask a posik because there, like I said, there's these endless comments, endless, it's incredibly long how many Tshuvot the Bris Yehuda quotes of cases of this in the Sephardi world. There's like some version of this having to do with insurance, which I didn't wrap my head around. At the end, I'm just like, I don't want to borrow money, I don't want to lend money, I don't want to do business, I don't want to do anything, right?
I don't know how you can impute any, whether we said before, that they want to follow the right thing. Who knows what the right thing is?
Yeah, well.
Like, how could you... Use that kind of argumentation in such a
Okay.
Do
depending on which way you turn, you seem to do the wrong thing regardless.
Well, that's Ribbis.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go through a few more halachot. The Shach quotes what Adam notes already from the Beis Yosef is in the cases of Avak Ribbis. So the Beis Yosef quotes Talmidei Rashba, the Avak Ribbis Heve Ve'ena Yotze B'dayanim Mitam Ribbis Mikomogam Chayv Lahalos Loschar Kaven Dekayma La'agra Fiul B'stoma Chayv Lahalos Loschar the Chasrei Mamone. Right, the Beis Yosef quotes the Shach paskins this way that if Hilvahu, right, it wasn't part of the original agreement, but the mal that lives in the lovah's property and it was rentable, so then he says you have to pay not midin ribis ketutza yotzei b'dayanin, but midin or even avak ribis, you know, deduction, but because the normal rules of zen and neviz echaser, right, of bava kama, and therefore the shach paskins like tamidei Rashba that if the mal that lives in property with that is rentable property, he has to pay for it, again, not because of Rabbi Ketuta, not because of Rabbeinu Ephraim's deduction rules, but simply because he used his property. It's rent, right? That's what the Ramban had said. That's what Tamidei Rashba said. That's what the Shach Paskins in 35. Is it just because the Isser of Ribbis gets involved that doesn't make it less true that you owe me rent, right? Right. The fact that I'm a bad person doesn't make me owe you money any less, right? And just because I didn't say the lender didn't say anything doesn't prove anything. But if we already lent money and it's a rentable property and I explicitly told you live in it for free, so then it's avak ribis, but I can't charge you rent because I told you to live there for free, so then I clearly violate the yisur of avak ribis, but in that case, eino yotze b'dayonim, and there's no deduction because we don't paskin like Rabbeinu, because the shach doesn't paskin like Rabbeinu Ephraim, even though the Rama did paskin like Ephraim, the shach does not paskin like Rabbeinu Ephraim, seemingly. The imdar patra milas alat loschar akan l'shono v'cheinu v'chua adim b'shem Ramban v'rashba v'kam v'agra imdar bo shalom idas habaylim pshito shechayv lasad loschar v'shalom v'motziyam v'menud logara mi'im lolve u'klal d'lak yisuro m'viu b'es Yosef klomar lo dam v'shar avak rivi shei das amal v'nirli du'odim lo kaim v'agra imu v'inyan shechayv lahalas loschar im lo huvo kagon sh'amrlei say o shechotzer lahalovet davar ma'at kagon sheyashchiro shegila daita l'shalim lo. The Shach adds that I have to pay you rent, even if it's not rentable property, but if it would be a case when under other circumstances I'd have to pay you rent, either I told you leave and you didn't, in which case the halacha is you have to pay rent, or I actually damaged your property in some way, in which case, again, you'd have to pay. That's the position of the Shach. V'i lo kaima.
I think if you say that they come and live free, everybody going to agree that you cannot take it in the lot to the bed anyway.
Well, no, because if you did it at the beginning, it would be ribis darais, ribis ktsutza, and then you could. Right? Then you, no. Because then it's ribis ktsutza, and then you can. If it's at the beginning, then it's ribis ktsutza, and even if I told, it's the worst, right? If it was before the loan, and I told you, live in my property because of the loan, for free, then it's ribis ktsutza, and I can take force it out of you. We both violate an isra ribis, daraisa, but I can force you to pay. It's only if it's in the middle, right, when it's not ribis ktsutza, that I, right, because if it's before, then it's ribis ktsutza, right, that's the problem, right? I mean, any case of ribis, right, any case of ribis is I agree to give you more money than I should be, and I can still force it out, even though I did it midaite, it's mechila midaite. Yeah. Yeah, right? Meaning if it's in advance, it's for sure. This is only during, then it's not ktsutza, then the other...
Yeah. Once it's paid back by force, then nobody's over anything. Or is it, are they still over?
No, you still violate it. You violate it. You can't...
Shemayim or...
What do you mean, Shemayim? There's no malchus.
It's not a lava nitzik
lase. It's not a lava nitzik lase, no. No, you violate Mishas Halva.
You don't fix the law.
You can't fix it. It's Nitin Lehishava. You can't fix it, right? If you make that deal, too bad.
Criminal record.
Right? Even if, the same thing is true if you never pay at all. If we make an agreement that I will pay ribbis, and then we both do tshuva later on and I don't pay it, we still violated, right? Because we made the agreement, right? That was what we saw at some point this year. We saw that. That you make, right? It's Mishal's halva'ah, right? And that's why the Midrash says the Dayanim violate and the Edim violate, everybody violates, right?
Even though you turned it around.
Even if, I'm saying even more than that, even forget about returning it, even if I never give it to you, I violate. Because we made the agreement, right? We violate. Obviously, I mean, it's good to do tshuva, but you have to do tshuva. It's not like I undid it, now I don't have to do tshuva. You have to do tshuva.
That's pretty tough.
You can't,
yes, Jerry, Rivid is very tough. We are very, yes. Okay, fine.
You can't paper
I found it in the Maharik. He's not like the Rambam.
He's like Maharam Rudenberg.
He brings the Maharam. It was tricky to find it, but he brings the Maharam and he brings the Mordechai.
Yeah. So again, I don't know if it's just a typo in the Ramah or the Ramah misunderstood it. I mean, I don't know. But the Ramah references Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, he just had an entirely different case.
Yeah, but he quotes Maharam. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I mean, look, there's a few possibilities. Either it's a typo in the Ramah misunderstood the Maharam Rutenberg, or the... at some point, right, Weider showed me this in the Shulchan Aruch from the 1500s, right? Those parentheses aren't added by the Ramah; they're added by later copyists. So it could be that the Ramah was just saying a different case, not connected to the Maharam Rutenberg, right? And that both the parenthetical comment Kufayin Zayin that I already explained this earlier.
The Makoros were added later.
The Makoros were added later. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's the third possibility is that the Makoros were added by someone. And this is not entirely impossible that. Because, look, I've been studying this for, you know, months, and I am so confused by this case. A guy whose job was just to copy things was just a copyist, right? He may have been totally confused and not realized that Ramah introduced a different case from Maharam Rutenberg. So that's possible. It's possible Ramah introduced a different case, and he never meant it to be the Maharam, and some copyist thought it was the Maharam because he didn't understand the Maharam or he didn't understand the Ramah. All that is possible. I don't know. I know that Rove Post could... quoted as if he said the same thing as Shulchan Aruch, though the Ramah himself, no matter how many times I read it, he seems to be saying the opposite case of the Maharam. So.
No, and the only other way you could really do it is if you add in pronouns.
Right, well, that's the problem, is that I think he's saying differently, but again, it's possible he's not. Like I was saying, it could be, typo is not the right word, it could be some grammatical confusion because it's so confusing who's doing what.
A lot of people touched the Ramah too, like as they went back.
Yeah,
so who knows
what happened? So again, Rove people paskin like Shulchan Aruch's understanding of the Maharam, which is what the Maharam actually, you know, said. We have 15 minutes, so.
What do you need? Never mind.
Oh.
Oh,
this? They're not mine. So,
yeah,
so I assume that yours.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I don't know what to do exactly with the Ramah. I mean, let's be fair. The Ramah's case makes more sense than Maharam's case. So, like, you know, I have no problem saying the Ramah introduced a case that makes more sense than the original case that I don't quite understand. But okay, fine. Okay, you like the Maharam's case. Fine,
well,
you like.
I don't think it's appropriate to read it.
That's what I said. Every time I read it, the Ramah's a bit ambiguous.
If you just add in one word, you're fine.
Gam lo medim. No.
Vagam echad. Vagam echad lo.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the guy.
Yeah, whatever. My tendency is to think that either the Ramah introduced a new case, or more likely he just wrote this badly.
Yeah.
And he says the same thing as Shulchan Aruch and the Maharam Rutenberg actually says, but who knows? I don't know. I really have no idea. But I have not seen anybody actually note the fact that the Ramah seems to be saying something different. So mm-hmm. at least either the post can understand the Ramah as having been, you know, written with a missing pronoun, or they just... missed the Ramah's distinction, or they assume the Ramah must mean the same as Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. Okay, fine. Shacham 36, just to run through the Psak issues. At this point, we've set everything up, but just to see how it comes down to the Shach, it says, Im lo kai malagra, he notes that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like that if it's not kai malagra, that it's not ribis ktsutza. He notes that the Rdasa Rambam, the Omer Halvini, afil lo kai malagra, have a ribis ktsutza. Right, he notes that the Rambam himself seems to think that if it's not kai malagra for all the reasons we said earlier, it is ribis ktsutza because of Yosef at the time of came into his name mo heavy kilu sochro me'achshav because of Gos Maimoni she came datas maga right v'chein kasev b'tru be the true wait what should be a sefer trumos no
trumos tradition.
But it's not. It's not Sharma Vav. This, okay, that's, it's the Sefer HaTrumos. It's the Sefer HaTrumos. I don't know why, whatever. Fine. Shazu das harifa, Rambam, Vitema, Lama, Hishman, Mechaber, Daito, Linyandina, Nili, Desfeka, Dedina, Huva, Motem, Mechaveir, Olva, Raya. So Shach says, in the end of the day, he doesn't understand. The Beis Yosef himself understood the Rambam, right, that even if it's Lokai Malagra, that is Ribis Ketsutza. But he has no idea why the Rambam, why the Shulchan Aruch understands it like the Ramban, while the Beis Yosef understood it like the Pashtus of the Rambam, and therefore he says, L'halacha, it's Safek, Ribis Ketsutza, Safek Avak Ribis, in a case when it's not Kaima L'Agra, and therefore Motzei Mechaveir L'Varaya, and you can't force the money to be paid because it would be Yotze B'Dayanin. Again, this all assumes that the normal rules of Motzei Mechaveir L'Varaya apply to Ribis, which is not totally clear. The Shach assumes that it does.
But if the halacha is you can be motzi it in the deraisa case, and it's something deraisa, why don't you go lachomer? So that you can't.
Well, that's the problem. Is that if you that this is?
Well, I guess I'm
pretty sure we discussed this the first week, right? In a case of suffik ribis ketsutza, is it a suffik iser deraisa which were motzis, or a suffik mamon, and therefore it's not motzi. So so the shach clearly says that it's a suffik mamon hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. Who was it who said that it's a suffik iser? This was the first week.
No, this wasn't the first week.
Second week?
I didn't do this in my intro.
Then I did it.
You did it.
Whoever I said then says it. So that person said it. If I had my computer, I would look. What? Right, because it's Gezel, if it's right. This, all that stuff that we said at the beginning. We'll have to look back at who we who I put there. But we can add the shach to the list of people that it's a monetary issue. Great. Okay. Fine. In 37, he just notes, the Shach notes, that while the Rambam thinks that something is only Ribis Ketsutza if it's at the beginning of the deal, in Ches, he just notes, V'yesh Omrim, the Raivid, right, that at Shas Harvachas Man, it's Ribis Daraisa, Kein Hu Haskamas Rov HaPoskim. Right? Nobody agrees with the Rambam, right? But Shas Harvachas Man, the Poskim do think it is Ribis Ketsutza. Okay. Skip to the Lavush. Lavush had a few helpful clarifying remarks in 38 and 39. He writes, the Lavush says that there is yet a third position that it can be, as we've seen, that there are three possibilities. The Rambam, that it's only Ribis Ketsutza if it's at the beginning. The Ravid, that it's Ribis Ketsutza if it's at the beginning, or Shas Harvachas Zman. And then there are some who think that it's Ribis Ketsutza even if in the middle of the loan I introduce a factor of Ribis. The Levush said, why would you take the third position? I get the Rambam and the Ravid, but why would you say that even in the middle it's Ribis Ketsutza? So he says, because maybe you read Lositein, right? He says, both the Rambam and the Ravid, what they're clearly doing is they're darshaning Lositein. Right, don't give your money beribis means either when you initiate the loan or when you extend the loan. If you want to say that it's ribis daraisa, even if you introduce interest in the middle of the loan and not when you're extending the loan, they must read losite not when you give, but when your money is given. Right, which I think is true. Right, that is the three-way machlokas rishonim. Right, is losite when you give the money, when you continue a new loan, which is considered a new loan, is that a new loan or not? Or as long as there is a netina going on, it is Ribis Ketsutza. And that's how the Levush understands those three positions. Okay, 38 and 39 are the same thing. So they are the same clarifying point. Okay.
Literally.
Literally, yes. With the same weird period typoed in. Okay.
The previous sentence. Yes.
Yeah, I got that. Okay. The Bris Yehuda has a point here, which, as he notes, isn't anywhere else, but I'll read it to you. He says like this, V'yesh l'dayik milashon sefer atruma, shetzorach lahalos loschar kodem sheyadur. The Bris Yehuda thinks that in order for me to avoid avak ribis problems, when I want to live in the house of my lender, when I'm the creditor, not only do I have to commit to paying rent and fair rent, I have to pay the entire rent before the deal even starts. That's the position that he attributes to the Sefer HaTrumos, and he gets that from 41. The Tzarech Lahalos Loschar Kodem Sheyadurbo. So the Bris Yehuda takes that literally, that not only do I have to agree to pay rent before, but I actually have to have paid the rent in advance of living there. It's weird. So he, so the Briz Yehudit says, "V'hayanira lomar da'avakav deschiras ena mishalemes el besof." He says, even though normally rent is paid at the end, "Haynu da'avka shishasachar menel esman amrinan shechovas atashlumi eno chal el besof tkufas aschiras avak shlo sachro el adarba below schara rehu nena kol rega me'adira afilo medayt l'sham achkach." After that, Kiribis Amanasa Hach there, he said, maybe because there's no formal end to the deal, we don't know when you're going to leave, so therefore it's like Ribis Amanasa Hach there, maybe that's a problem. Mikokam Nirg, the Sharba Shalom, he died off his name, Mamanos, and Sarkhalas, Sharzach, Sheyiktos, Alkoponim, Neacherim, or at least you have to get Dayone, you know, Adim here and say that you're going to pay it, etc. But then he says, but no one says this. So at the end he says, Tzarech Iyun, right? So this is what it seems, but Tzarech Iyun. I find this very unlikely to be true. No, because he says, no one else says it. No one says this. He's getting it from one deal, going to say, for Atrumos.
And Beit Yosef was derived that you, once you've already paid up at the end of the month, the local pays back.
I know, that's postures, all the other posts can say explicitly that you pay it later. As long as, yeah, as long as you agreed and it's fair market value and all that, so it's mutter. So, like the Brits, he's right that the simple read of the Sefer HaTrumos is like that, but I think he's making a lot of one line in the Sefer HaTrumos, but okay. The Shardeya has a very sort of weird position. He says, Aval Omer lo stam kol zman shemazecho etzli chater tzchur lecha bedinor ein zeru bezkutza afal pi shiru'uya le'askira bimana. The Shardeya, now I would have said this is ribis, right? That if I say, as long as you lend me money, so rent in my property, and I give you a lowball number that's below market value, right? So I would have said that's the case in the Gemara, right? That lo yischar menu bepachos. But the Shardeya says that it's only true if I say I'm giving you a discount. If I don't say I'm giving you a discount, I just de facto give you a discount, then since eno not lekarkos, there's no real price.
Right.
And if there's no real price, so it's not ribis. I would have told you that's not true. That by ribis, we take into account the reality. What's the market value? Even if it's not halachically binding, I would have...
No, you're going to see this with Tarsha also. We're going to have the same discussion.
You can
but, anyways.
You can argue that there's an anola kakos, but the bottom line is that it's tied, and the whole reason you have the discount is because of the halachah.
So that's what I would have said, but I understand. Right. But we'll get to this with Tarsha. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. That's where it's coming up. But The problem is the Gemara says, L'yishkarim penev pachos. The Shardeya says the only time it does it is if I articulate it as a discount rather than as a lowball price. I don't know. I hear what he's saying. I'm not totally convinced.
Right,
we're so careful by...
You're only dealing with Ribis Derech Mekach in the first place.
Right, but this is Ribis Derech Halva'ah.
That's part of the...
Which is Ribis.
Part of the conversation.
Right. So that's why I'm not... I mean, Tarsha, you're right. It's Derech Mekach, so that is part of the discussion. The Shardeya borrows that over to here and says it's true even... In a halva gemura, I find that very difficult to believe. You know, as someone said, you know, said in my shir this week on overcharging with land, there may not be an objective price, but there is a market price. There is a, you can vaguely figure out whether the guy is undercharging you because you lent money. You can figure that out. I would tend to think that's at least ribis derabanan, or at least avak ribis, I think. I don't know if it's ribis deraita in that case because you didn't articulate a number, right? And you didn't articulate anything really, but ribis derabanan, it's not harama's ribis, it's not mechzik ribis, it's something, it's definitely something, I don't know. I find this very strange. Okay, it looks like there's a lot more, there really isn't. I gave you the Ranach and then the Yehuda that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, so that if you want to, you can look at where these come from, but the summary of the halacha are just 43 and then we're done, right? Which is 43, the... Pesachei Tshuva has two halachos. One is Dor v'chatzeiri, Reuven, Sachar, Bayis, Melvid, Kochavim, Basar, Levanim, Vilavim, Mishimon, Lizman, Omishkan, Obzeved, and Chiyasa, Vilavim, Echa, Layom, Hevet, Ribis, Ktutza. Here's the case, right? Instead of... I rent property for $100 a day, whatever, from a non-Jew, right? And then I... rent that property out to somebody else who lent me money at a lower rate, right? The Nozi Huda says that's obviously ribis daraisa, because what I basically said is that I've transferred my debt to the guy over to you, but I'm making you pay less because it's delaying how much, right? That's ribis ktutza. That, I think, is pretty obvious, but fine, that's what he says. The case that he brings up is, that's the Ranach, that's 44 rather, and then the Yehuda is a very complicated case, and I'm not sure I get it, but I gave it to you in 45. Said Rabbeinu, the Ramah Paskins Rabbeinu Ephraim, based on the assumption that I keep the status quo. But he said, what happens if you had a case where a mashkon or something like that was in the hands of the, not in the hands of the malva, but for some reason was in the hands of the lova? So then in that case, he says, obviously, since the Rabbeinu Ephraim's whole argument is keeping the status quo is not called menachah bedamim, right? So if it turns out that the mashkon happened to be by in the hands of the lova, and I would force it out of the hands of the lova into the malva, or whatever, like, yeah, into the hands of the malva, then obviously then that would be right, motzian, and then the exact contours of the case are a bit complicated, but that point, I think, is pachot o yoter obvious. So I've left out the last case in the Rama, but that's the case of lending money and having you build litovasi, but that's really not a case here. It just comes up in the Rama here, and it's extremely complicated, but you can look at it. It's in 46 and 47. Okay. Shkoyach.